Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, the first 42 verses. John 4, verses 1 through 42. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we in this morning hour try to draw nigh unto thee again. It is the first Sabbath of the newly begun year, and as thou didst promise unto thy servant Noah, and at seed time and harvest, day and night would not cease until that thou wouldst come again. So thou givest also that thy Sabbath may also continue, and that we with our children may be brought under the instruction of thy holy word. Lord, thou knowest that in us there dwelleth no good thing. Then it is not because that we have deserved it, but it is because thou takest reasons out of thyself. It is because thou wilt have a church even unto the end of the world. It is because thou still hast more to gather in. As we may read in thy word, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And so it must be also in this morning hour that men must be installed in their offices. And thou givest it yet in our midst, that those offices may still continue. Oh, that thou may also bless these means that are used in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, that we may be part of thy true church, and that thy Spirit may go out, and that it may work with might and power to bless the institution which thou hast given to us and to our children, and that we may not remain destitute of thee and of thy grace and of thy Spirit. Lord, remember us all together. Oh, that these offices may never testify against us in that great day of days, as office bearers, but also as the members of the congregation. Oh, that thou would give a supplication at thy throne of grace on behalf of us, and that we may go forward in the strength of thee, and that thy Spirit may accompany thy word and the labors that are performed from day to day and from week to week, also in the year that lies before us, of which all things are unknown unto us. And then according to this world, then men will be born in this world, and men will die out of this world. But oh, that thou may give also that new birth. Oh, that we may not be brought to the end of this year, and that without fruit in the midst of us as a congregation. But when thou givest us the Sabbath day once again, oh, that thou may come and give thy Spirit in a rich measure from week to week, and to help us in the preaching, to help our brothers in the reading of thy word, and that which we may receive from our forefathers.
Oh, that thou may give strength for the day, for the body, wisdom in the mind, but also grace in our hearts, that the love of our hearts may burn for the need of the souls of the flock over which thou hast made us overseers, and that the need of their souls may go with us day by day, that we as office bearers may learn to bend our knees, and that we may carry this flock up unto the throne of grace, but also that this people may learn also to bend their knees, that they may carry us. Oh, that thou may remember us then all together, that thou would make us, O Lord, a praying people, not a people that are looking for a blessing from a man, because it shall only end in a great disappointment, but a people that are looking for a blessing from the Most High God, thou whose art a cattle upon a thousand hills, and who will provide all that is necessary for thy people in an outward way in this life. O thou whose art all the power in heaven and in earth to give that spiritual blessing, that thou may show thy victory over the prince of darkness who does hold us in that prison of death by nature, and that thou would put him out, O Lord, and that thou would raise us and our children from the dead, that thou would give those holy longings after thee for the first time or by renewal in the life of thy dear people, and that thou may give that the hungering and the thirsting may be experienced, that it also may be fulfilled. Oh, that living water that may be drawn from the wells of salvation, that it may also be administered in the midst of us, that the thirsty may drink thereof, that they may be so satisfied, and that they may feel and experience something of the abundance of thy Holy Spirit, the abundance of grace in the midst of all their iniquity and of all their sin, the abundance of forgiveness for all the guilt of thy people, the abundance of water to wash and to cleanse away all the filth and all the pollution of all the transgression and the vanity of their continuing existence. O Lord, look upon each and every one of us. Oh, if thou wilt hold thy hand so still, then we shall not receive a blessing, neither shall the honor be received by thee. But, oh, work thou with thy spirit, with might and with power amongst us, amongst young and old. Oh, look thou upon the children and upon the youth. Work thou in their young hearts, and give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not, nor do they say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh, that thou may give them pleasure in the house of God, that they may be spoiled for all the vanities of this world, and that they may see in here in thy house their end, and that they may learn to hasten for the sake of their life, and to redeem the time because the days are evil, and that they may not waste the precious time of their youth in seeking all that is here below, which is only going to disappoint in the end. Lord, we beseech thee for thy power, because we as parents and as office bearers, we cannot bind it on our own hearts. We cannot bind it upon the hearts of our children and of our grandchildren. But, O thou, thou most Holy Spirit, and thou who art most powerful, wilt thou remember us with our dear children? Look upon all those that are afflicted, those that are not able to gather with us in this day. May thou be with them in their places, in their homes, or wherever that they may be. Wilt thou look upon all widows, widowers, and orphans? and all that have needs and difficulties in this life, supply in the need. And wilt thou honor and glorify thyself also in the ways of thy providential dealings, that it may be sanctified and blessed. Wilt thou look upon the nation of the Jews? Lord, thou knowest all that is taking place in the days that are come upon them, and the warfare which has begun. Oh, that thou may guide and protect them from all that seek to destroy them. Oh, are they not the beloved for the Father's sake? And though they have erred so greatly, Lord, may thou watch over them for the sake of thy own great name, and protect them, and wilt thou remember them in their cause, but wilt thou also open their eyes, oh, that they may see how that they have erred, and that that they may be brought also to bow their knees before the Messiah, before the Son of God, to acknowledge all their iniquity and their guilt, and that they may also come to receive that forgiveness for which thou hast besought thy Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, that thou may take away the veil, that thou may take away the ignorance, and wilt thou give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe. Supply then in all the need of these days and all those that are at warfare in this world, those soldiers which have gone to the battlefields, also from this our country, and from families also within our denomination. Oh, that thou may guide and protect them, bring them safely home again at thy appointed time. Wilt thou look upon us, each one in this day? Wilt thou supply in our need in the preaching of thy word? Wilt thou supply in the need of those who must give an answer concerning a holy office? Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand, O Lord, and that thou may give, that their dependence may be upon thee in this morning hour to give their answer, but also in continuance day by day. Oh, do make them faithful, and do visit them with a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit, that we may all together be those who are qualified by thee to lead in the midst of the congregation, and to go from house to house, that we may be enabled to explain the mysteries of thy word and the cases of conscience in the midst of the congregation. Oh, so go before us then in this morning. Help those that do listen. Oh, supply that thy word may have good ground to fall upon, that it may be an encouragement to thy dear children, that it may be to the raising of the spiritually dead. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. The last collection today is for the school, 163. All stanzas. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 4, and thereof the 34th verse. John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So far the words of our text. The meat of Christ. First, his need of temporal meat. And second, his delight in spiritual meat. The meat of Christ. First, his need of temporal meat. And second, his delight in spiritual meat. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. The Pharisees' congregation could not endure that there were multitudes that were gathered after the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they were filled with envy. But Satan is not able to hinder that work of the Lord Jesus, although that the whole world and even those that are standing in the church are coming against him, still Satan is not able to keep that work from progressing. The Lord Jesus evades the Pharisees. Why? Is he afraid of them, children? No. But it is not the time yet for the Lord Jesus to be crucified. No, it will be several years that the Lord Jesus is going to walk upon this world, and that he is going to show the world who that he is and why that he has come. And the Lord Jesus is also in control of that time, and that he will be delivered into death. Therefore, the Lord Jesus now evades these Pharisees, and yet we read here and that he continues his work, and he must needs go through Samaria. We heard something in this past week about the admonition of the Lord through the Apostle Paul, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so we see it was also the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is also redeeming the time. Thus we have an example in him, always busy in those things of the kingdom of God, although that are required for him such a great measure of self-denial. And he must needs go through Samaria. That was not the custom of the Jews, but they ordinarily would go through Perea, that they may not have to walk through Samaria. Why not? Because of the hatred and that is lying in the heart of the Samaritans for the Jewish nation. And thus they would avoid these Samaritans. And the Lord Jesus does not do so on this occasion. And why not? Because there is a woman in Samaria, and that must on this occasion hear the word of the Lord. And there must be a woman that is in Samaria that will be convinced that this is the Messiah. Through her mouth will also be
a benefit to her own people. As we heard that she is going to speak unto others and that they are also going to come and they are going to say, now we believe not because of thy word, but because we have heard him ourselves. O congregation, it is possible that we are filled with hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ, even as those Jewish people. And yet in one moment that the power of the Holy Spirit by the word of the Lord Jesus that is able to change our heart in one moment. This we may ask for. This we ought to ask for. It is the sixth hour. That means that it is 12 o'clock noon. And the Lord Jesus comes, we read here, to Jacob's well. And what is the condition that the Lord Jesus is in when he comes now to this Jacob's well? We read here that he is wearied with his journey, that he sat on the well that he may receive a little rest. Of what is this proof? This is proof of the human nature, the full human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was wearied with his journey. It is impossible to say these words concerning the divine nature of the Lord Jesus, because that divine nature that is never weary, that is never tired, that is always watching over that church of God. Thus we see the proof of that full human nature of the Lord Jesus. And then not only is he weary, but he is also hungry. Because we read his disciples, they have gone to buy some meat. And not only is he hungry, but he is also what, children? He is thirsty. How do we know that? Because he sees now this woman. And she is coming to draw a little bit of water from the well. And the Lord Jesus addresses her. And he asks her, give me to drink. In that place that the Lord Jesus came from, we heard that he was born into this world in that place that he came from when he was in the place of his father. There was no weariness, there was no hunger, and there was no thirst. Therefore, we see something of the love. We see something of the care of the Lord Jesus and the self-denial of the Lord Jesus, that he would leave that place where there was no suffering and he would come into this world. What do we read? We read that it was for a purpose. That he came in order that he may be a compassionate high priest. And that church of God may know, may be assured that he is well acquainted with all the necessities that they may have also in this life. Paul says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Thus, the Lord Jesus in his place with his Father could not be compassed with infirmity. And therefore he has
become incarnate. Therefore, he has taken upon himself this body. And the consequences of sin in his body, that he may know the daily infirmity of his own church. And then we read that he is not placing upon that people more than they are able to bear. That is then the consolation of the church under all the crosses in this life. The disciples return. They have with them a little bit of food, and it seems like the Lord Jesus does not partake of this food immediately, because the disciples, they here ask him, "Master, eat." That is natural. The Lord Jesus is loved by his disciples, and his disciples, they will care for him also for the things of his body. And when they see that he does not take of this food, then they are urging him to eat something. "Master, eat." And what does the Lord Jesus answer? He says, "I have meat to eat, and that ye know not of." Do the disciples understand the words of the Lord Jesus? No. They do not understand. And why do they not understand? Because they are so carnal. "Hath any man," they say, "given him aught to eat?" Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about something that is so different. The Lord Jesus speaks about spiritual matters. And the disciples, they think that the Lord Jesus is speaking about natural matters. Thus they are unable to discern. And these are now the ministers of the word. These are now the office bearers in that church of God. And these are now so carnal. The Lord Jesus needed food just as much as the disciples needed to eat and to drink. But what a wonder that the Lord Jesus was not as those disciples are. We see that in our second thought, his delight was in spiritual meat. "Therefore," said the disciples one to another, "hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." The will, he says, of him that sent me. Christ, therefore, did not come into this earth on his own, but the Lord Jesus declares that he has been sent. "Him that sent me," thus he speaks about his own Father. Thus the offices that the Lord Jesus received, and he had several offices, those offices that he received, he did not take upon himself, but he has received them out of the hand of his Father. Paul says, "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God." So he says, even Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, "Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." Thus the Lord Jesus did not run uncalled and unsent in this world. And this morning, we hope to install office bearers once again in our midst. And congregation, this is not an office. And that man may take unto himself. No, that is an office for which a man must be sent by God. There are those by times who may receive a desire for an office, and this may be in a right way, and this may be in a wrong way. We can read how that Paul writes to Timothy, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Thus, there are times that the Lord is laying on the heart of a man the weight of the offices within the church of God. Thus, the Lord is by times laying on the heart of a man the cause of the Lord in his church in this world. And that he feels something of the weight of the importance of the glory of this cause. Also of the need for office bearers within the church in this world. And that the office may still continue and that God may gather his church in the midst of the world, in the midst also of our own seed, of our own children. That sometimes a person is even given to pray that the Lord, if it could please him, if the Lord would yet use him also as a little instrument in his own hands, and that he may also labor within his kingdom. Thus it is possible that the Lord prepares a person before that he is actually calling and sending such a person in a legal, in a lawful way, through the consistory and through the congregation, through the church itself, and that he may receive such an office. On the other hand, congregation, it can be a sickness. It can be a sickness that comes even out of our own heart. A desire for honor, a desire for power, that we also would like to be an office bearer within the church of God, and then we are not willing to wait in the for the time of the Lord, no, but then we are attempting to thrust ourselves forward within that church. We can read that there was a man who came to the Lord Jesus, and that he said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever that thou wilt go. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He sent him away. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Thus that was a man from whom that desire came only from within. It was not worked from above. And he did not see, he did not understand the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations that would come along with that office that he desired. Then there was another man. The Lord Jesus said to him, follow me. Did the Lord ever say that to you? And what did that man say? He said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. We would choose the first one, wouldn't we? We would say, he is more willing. He has more zeal. And the Lord chose the second one. Let the dead bury their dead. Thus it is the choosing of the Lord. And the Lord will in his own time, when he has truly laid this on the heart of a man, then the Lord will in his own time also fulfill it. Moses was called by the Lord to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Oh, then Moses must have felt something in that day that he has gone out. And he saw the poverty, he saw the affliction of his own people. And on that heart of Moses was laid the people, what their cause was. And he could not endure when he saw the enemy in and among his people, and he slew him. Oh, Moses, he must have felt something already of that calling of the Lord, but the Lord, he is working. He is working secretly. He is moving Samson at times. But the Lord is not working always in the way that the people desire. No. Then Moses, he must go for 40 years first in the wilderness. And there Moses has to receive lessons. And there all Moses' zeal has to be taken away. And all Moses' strength has to be taken away. And all the desire that comes out of Moses' heart has to be taken away. And when all this is gone, then there is one thing that remains. That is the calling of the Lord and the sending of the Lord. And that is now the way that the Lord is able to use a man within his church. But Moses was not so willing. No, Lord, send by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send someone else. And so rebellious that the Lord finally becomes angry with him. Is that not a wonder that it was not so with the Lord Jesus Christ? My meat, he says, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Thus the work of those offices that were laid on the shoulders of that Son of God, the work of those offices was no burden to him. He says, it is my meat. Children, why do you eat meat that is for strength? You go on with this strength. So the Lord Jesus says, oh, to serve my church, to serve my people, and to serve my Father, and that I may do his will, that is now my meat, that is my drink, that is how I may go forward in this world. Oh, he took those offices upon him with so much willingness. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And did he know it was coming? He knew it was coming. Suffering, death, and I delight. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And what is the will of him that sent him? And this is the will of him that sent me, the Lord Jesus says, that of those whom thou hast given me, I should lose none. Thus his meat, the meat of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the salvation of his own church. His delight, when they are lying polluted in their own blood, or when they are lying dead in sins and in trespasses, his delight. And when they are lying in rebellion against him, as that Jewish people were, or that they did not even receive him, but it was his delight to come for the salvation of his own people. It was his delight to deny himself. It was his delight to suffer, to hunger, to thirst, and to be weary. It was his delight even to give himself over unto the death of the cross, even for this cause. Did his human nature recoil against that suffering that was coming? Certainly it did. Just as yours and as mine
recoil against that suffering that we know that we see coming and that we know that we have to bear. And in his divine nature, knowing and seeing all that did lie upon him, then also his human nature, knowing something of the separation that he would have to endure in a special way, separation from the communion of his Father, separation from the favor of his Father. Oh, my Father, if it could be possible that this cup might pass from me, oh, that is the natural recoiling of that human nature against that suffering that is so vividly before him. But now we see something of that blessed reconciliation of that human will of the Lord Jesus unto the will of his Father. Oh, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, that is an unfathomable self-denial of Christ. For I came not down from heaven to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Who can comprehend, congregation, the love of the mediator when he will give himself in such a willing way for this work? Because scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All that will of that mediator in his human nature, that was so self-denying that he may fulfill the will of his Father, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That is not only to begin that work, that is not only to come onto the earth, to be incarnate as we have commemorated children, to become a little baby, one who needed to be taught and instructed, he who was all-knowing, and to humble himself as if there were things that he did not know, one who would become weary and hungry and thirsty. Oh, not only to begin, no, but he says even to finish, to complete it, to bring it unto its utter end. That is the purpose, and that is my meat, and that is my drink, that is my desire, to do that will of him that sent me. Oh, children, is that also your desire? Oh, can you say also, as the Lord Jesus says, that it is my delight to do the will of my Father, to do the will of my Mother? Or do you not want to do their will? Or do you say, well, I have my own will? Oh, in hell are all children that have their own will. How is that, young people? And we see now the Lord Jesus, that he says it is his meat, it is delight, it is his delight to do the will of him that sent him. Is that also your delight? How do you obey the command of your Father, the command of your Mother? Love in your heart to your Father and to your Mother, and love in your heart especially unto the Lord. Oh, that will bring such an obedience that it will be such a delight to your Father and to your Mother. So it was for Christ. Oh, so that all the world, the Lord Jesus says, may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so he said, I do, so that the whole world may know it. Then he will obey
in the face of that whole world, oh young people. Oh, may you say that too. In the presence of your friends, that everyone may know that it is my desire to do the will of my Father and of my Mother. But congregation, how is it in a special way between our own soul and the Lord concerning the will of the Lord? Maybe we pray that often, that the Lord Jesus has taught his people to pray, "Thy will be done." But what does it mean to us? What does it mean? If we had to walk after the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that he knew that he had to go, if that now had to be our way, in a way of suffering, in a way of trial, in a way of tribulation, it is easy to say, "Thy will be done." And when the Lord gives us prosperity, but when we know the way goes through suffering and the way goes through death, or are we still able truly to say, "Thy will be done"? By nature, it is not our meat to do the will of our Creator. No, we have our own will. It is a rebellious will that we receive from our father Adam, who rebelled against the will of his Creator. And we are nothing by nature but the continuation of this rebellious will. What do we need then? Oh, we need power to be experienced here. And then we become, we read in the Word of God, a willing people. A willing people in the day of his power. Oh, are those people then so one with that will of the Lord? Oh, the desire, the essence of this oneness that is indeed planted in the life and in the heart of that people. Sadly, it is not always to be seen in the exercise of their life. In the beginning of that life, then that desire is so strong. Then they are even like Peter. "Oh Lord," he says, "if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." Congregation, how much do that people not need to learn? Oh, they say it out of love, and they say it out of earnestness, and they say it out of desire, but they also say it out of ignorance. And so much needs to be learned about who? About themselves. And about what lies within, about an old man. What did the Lord Jesus have to say concerning that same man? He said, "The Spirit indeed is willing." Yes, oh yes, that Spirit is willing. Willing in the day of the power of the Lord. But all that flesh. That flesh is so weak to follow him and to follow him in that way of suffering and that way of self-denial in the path of tribulation. Oh, there was a special grace that the Lord gave to Abraham when Abraham may be so willing to sacrifice, to offer up his own son, the promised son, unto the Lord. By moments, something of that which is planted in the heart of the people may come out in the exercise of their life. Oh, how ashamed that church ought to be that it is not always that way. Oh, that there is so much meat to do my own will. And there is, congregation, in the heart of that people, sorrow over this. There is grief over this. And do you know what then becomes their meat and their drink? That it was the meat of Christ to do the will of Him that sent Him and to finish His work. Oh, they see something in this. What is in this? Here is the foundation of their whole salvation. The foundation of their whole salvation. When they may see this, oh, then they may drink for a moment from that fountain. From that fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus says. It is a fountain of free and sovereign grace. And for a moment, sometimes the people are given to see for whom that it was His meat to come and do the will of His Father. Even for those who have so much left of their own will. And that strength of that the weakness of that flesh. For when we were without strength, then Christ was sent. For whom? Oh, then he died, we read, for the ungodly. Oh, then all their guilt, then all their sin, because of that remaining self-will, all that may be swallowed up in that blessed willingness of that mediator. And then for some time, some moments in the life of the people, they may agree to be saved with their hands down. So that the Lord Himself may receive all the honor and all the glory. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Oh, what an eternal wonder for that church of God. Eternity is not going to be long enough that people may magnify the Lord forever. Oh, and then with that will of that old man buried in the grave and there to remain in the grave when the body is again resurrected on that last day, and then that will of that new man, oh, that shall overcome forever and forever. And then, oh, to be so one. With that will of the Lord, all that is now the desire, that is the desire of that people from that moment of that new birth. And it is their greatest grief, and that flesh that is so weak to fulfill it. But in that day, then they will receive the blessed desire of their heart, and then they shall serve Him. Day and night we read in His temple. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 109, stanzas 1 through 4. The offering on the altar burned and gives no delight to Thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, Thou givest unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 109. We will now read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know in that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office. Namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, "He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence." Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remained distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2. That these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves that might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministration, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather that what the deacon's office is, namely that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. Second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask those who are to be installed to arise. Mr. Gerrit van Heerden and Mr. Rick Busicum, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, Ye elders in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourselves in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer, Mr. Gerrit van Heerden? Yes. Mr. Rick Busicum. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, in this morning you receive an office once again from the Lord. That is not an office that you have taken upon yourselves. That is an office that you have received from above. And that is, in the first place, a great responsibility, because then you labor within His church. But it is also, in the second place, a great comfort, because then it is He also that is powerful, that is able to give you what you stand in need of for the fulfillment of these offices. But when you may now give your yes, when you may now give your answer, how is it within your heart? How may you give that answer? May you do that with a willing heart? Or must we be thrust into that office in the anger of the Lord, because we know that the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses? When we read about Jonah, we read that he desired to flee unto Tarsus. And in a special way, when the way is difficult and when there are problems, and then we understand Jonah. And when we read in the Word of God of Moses, then we can also understand him when we think about his ability and what our ability also may be, or what we may think to be our inability. And yet, when we see that it was the meat of Christ to do the will of His Father, even in the human body, with all of the afflictions and the consequences of sin upon Him, then we hope that just even the smallest part of that desire and that will of Christ may abound in you. As you go about those labors, then we know that it is expressed by times our insufficiency. And when we have heard how that the church is called to redeem the time, and when we may see what we are, then it is understandable and that we are afraid to enter into such an office, because you say, what am I but carnal, worldly minded? It is a comfort that we may read today that the disciples, and they bore that same carnally minded heart with them, and that did not disqualify them. The Lord Jesus still appointed them for their office. May it be something that we watch against, but may it be also something that the Lord may Himself give. Above all, we hope and that meat of the Lord Jesus to do His Father's will may become by times indeed your comfort, that it may by times become your only foundation, And then you will be useful within the church of God to go in a way of dependence in your office, but also to lead those in that church of God with words, as we heard, of consolation. Wish to say a moment, a word to the wives and to the children of these office bearers, but also to all of the office bearers, because we know that for you it can sometimes also be difficult, that you must leave go of your husband, that you must leave go of your father, and that he may give himself unto the work in the church. Maybe, children, and that you are also sometimes rebellious, and that you say, why is it that my father has to be so often gone? Now we hope that also some of that will of God may be bound upon your hearts even in your youth. It was not your father who has chosen this office, but it is an office that was given unto him by the Lord himself. And we hope that it may also be something of your meat, and that you may give him over unto that work in the way of self-denial, even as the Lord Jesus, he gave himself unto that work. And then we hope that also as something of this office, the office within the church that your husband and that your father may serve in, that it may be for your profit and for your welfare, and that you may one day magnify and glorify God forever on account of this. Congregation, the Lord Jesus said, my meat, that is to do the will of my Father. And the will of my Father, he says, is the will of him that sent me. Oh, how do we conduct ourselves in reference to the office bearers? David, when he was persecuted by Saul, who was a wicked man, he did not dare to touch the anointed of the Lord. That anointed of the Lord had a desire to thrust him through, but he would not put forth his hand against the Lord's anointed. Anointed to what? Anointed to an office. We read in the Bible that the very angels, the holy angels in heaven, they do not dare to bring a railing accusation against the office bearers. That they stand in holy awe, because it is an office that is given unto them by the Lord. What is there for our conduct in our homes? What is our conduct in our society in regard to the office bearers? Are these perfect men? No, we are far from perfect men. Does the Lord know this? The Lord called his disciples. He did not give holy angels. No, he gave imperfect, sinful people. And he has set them over his church. And if we will speak evil of them, and we do what the angels do not dare to do, and we do what David did not dare to do, who was the anointed of the Lord himself, we destroy our own family. We destroy the church of God. Oh, is there a place to come When you have a disagreement with an office bearer, yes, there is. First place is on your knees. And if you have been on your knees, then you may also come to our doors. And you may sit with us. And you may speak to us. And may God give us the humility to admit when we are wrong. And may God give us all together the grace to love and to serve Him and to walk and desire the welfare of His church. All the offices. It is a wonder that the offices in this day may still continue. May still continue in our midst. That the Lord has not yet cut them off. For what reason? Those offices there. That the Lord may convert. That the Lord may instruct His people. Oh, may it be. Indeed, that these offices may be for your welfare. And that the labors which are performed may one day bring forth fruit to the glory of God. We wish to ask you to stand and to sing on behalf of these men, Psalter 367, the fourth verse. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell. Surely I will bless and help her. Feed her poor, her saints make glad, and her priests shall stand before me in salvation's garments clad, and her priests shall stand before me in salvation's garments clad. 367, stanza 4, standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be watchful, be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God, and ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed. Provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen, or who hath been burdensome to his neighbor, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you doing these things in your respective callings shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified in the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 84, stanzas 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. But be ye not unruly, or slow to understand. Be not perverse, but willing to heed my wise command. 1 and 2 of Psalter 84. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.